Hey kids, welcome to Early Morning in Burbank and the lovely sound of the Burbank Airport Early Morning Dispatch. Yes, that's the sound of planes taking off in the background. I've got to get this to Bart on the fly, so no editing for me this morning. So, everybody in a good mood still? Maybe I'm still under the influence of that blue tsunami of taking over Congress. Maybe I have the holiday spirit early, or maybe, just maybe, most likely, I'm completely delusional. First, the election itself. A blue tsunami that Karl Rove's math reduced to a mere blue wave, thanks so much to the machines either not working at all, woohoo, or completely breaking down, even better. So many people demanding paper ballots, thank you HBO, and the record turnout for a midterm. Sorry, Carl. I have to admit my head almost exploded when Madam Speaker... Ooh, doesn't that sound awesome? Madam Speaker. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. My head almost exploded when Pelosi said impeachment is off the table. And then Howard Dean repeated it. Blah, 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 blah. Sure. Oh, yeah. I went just a little insane. I mean, no one is above the law, and we not only must hold them accountable for their crimes, but we must stop them from doing any more damage. Then I started thinking, what if they, our Dems, have a plan? I know that's hard to wrap your head around given the absolutely astounding incompetence we've been subjected to for so long that when something actually goes right, we all think it's just an accident. But what if they all have one brain cell that actually functions and they've come up with a plan? What would be the best way to have all our dreams come true? I can't speak for you, but my dreams are that Bush and company end up in The Hague. All their vile inventions like the Patriot Act and the Military Commissions Act rescinded, we get our Constitution back, and we get a transparent government that has so much oversight that lobbyists will crawl back into the diseased bile they crawled out from to begin with and become extinct. And of course, the icing on my little cake is back to paper-only ballots, hand-counted with public and international oversight. And no, I don't care if it takes a month. It's not a sporting event. So, how does this come to be? What if they keep saying that it's off the table and keep doing the, hey, look at the bright, shiny thing over here. The first 100, what is it? Hours? First 100 hours? Minutes? Days? Whatever. When they up the minimum wage and all the other feel-good things they keep smiling about that we all want. Don't get me wrong. Ooh, and there's the flight to Vegas. Hello, Southwest to Vegas. I should be on you right now. Anyway, the press finally sees the bright, shiny thing and gets bored and finds some Tom Cruise story to report. Meanwhile, Waxman and Conyers and company begin their oversight and investigations quietly. Because if they started impeachment hearings immediately, can you imagine the media circus? Do you doubt for a minute that the Republicans wouldn't whip their obstruction machine into full force, worse than anything we've ever seen? It would make the Valerie Plame outing seem like a quinceañera. So, the Dems publicly begin to get good stuff done, putting Iraq way out front as the top story, while the investigations go on quietly. So when the evidence of just how dirty these criminals are and how deep the rabbit hole actually goes, and it's exposed in all its ugly, fetid repulsiveness, there will be such a public outcry that the media will be unable to ignore it. And it will be the Republicans themselves who call for impeachment because it will be their only choice for their party to survive. We won't have to worry at that point if we have the votes or not. The great thing will be that it will be so close to the end of their terms that it won't be just impeachment. It will be prosecution. In the meantime, I think the Dems should get smart and get rid of earmarks. They need to introduce single-item bills like increasing the minimum wage, send it to Bush one item at a time, and let him sign it or veto it, then override. That will expose him for the partisan hack he is, and we might actually get some things accomplished. I have to hope. I have to believe they have a brain cell and a plan. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. I'm Tally, and this has been La Perspective Femme.
This next bit ought to really disturb you, because apparently it's legal for the military recruiters to lie through their teeth. They can tell these dizzy 18-year-olds anything, and it's legal. They can tell them anything, and it's legal. Now, I'm going to play it for you, but I'm going to have to translate some of it, because the recruiters are street. You know, I guess they're doing a lot of recruiting in the inner city, so they got these recruiters. They don't look like Joe Whitey sitting there. They look like one of the gang. Don't mean gang, but they just look like a regular guy, and they speak the language of the street. So it's closed caption. I'll be able to translate some of this for you, but you're not going to believe what they're doing here. Now, check this out.
Tonight, we have an undercover investigation of how some military recruiters are misleading potential recruits. The Army barely made last year's recruiting goal. It was achieved by raising age limits, lowering standards, and boosting incentives. The Army says such changes were necessary after missing its 2005 recruiting goal.
Wait, one thing I don't understand. They brag about we met our goal. Well, excuse me, the only way you met your goal was you raised the signing bonus and you lowered the standards. And then you go brag about how you met your goal. Well, no, the truth is you failed to meet your goal, so you had to change the rules. In football, if you say, well, we couldn't get a first down, but we got 6 yards several times, well, let's just change it to 6 yards equals a first down. Well, then we got a bunch of first downs. And if you get 20 points for every field goal, well, then we actually beat the other team. You don't get to do that. But listen to what these crazy bastards do.
Jim Hoffer of our New York City affiliate, WABC-TV, found out in an undercover investigation that many recruiters are also stretching the truth.
When I war in a long time ago.
Did you hear that? The lady said, we're not at war. The war ended a long time ago. Now, they put those words, I don't know how clearly you heard it, but they put those words on the screen. The lady looks right in the camera's eye. I mean, the camera's like in a briefcase or something that's sitting on the desk. She looks her right in the eye and says, we're not at war. The war ended a long time ago. And the kid thinks, well, hell, I'll help with the cleanup if we got peace now. Sure, I'll sign up. What the hell? I need an education. I could use $10,000 or $20,000, whatever it is. I could use some of the whatever's left of the GI Bill. Make my family proud of me. I'll sign up. There is no war. Happy days. George Bush did it again. They just fucking lied to these people. And think, you got to be a little confused when you go down to the recruiting office anyway. I mean, who in their right mind is going to volunteer to go to Fallujah? That's just crazy. And this lady looks you right in the eye and says, the war is over. See what else they do.
When I war in a long time ago.
About half the recruiters our undercover students talk to compared risk here at home to being in Iraq.
I like Subway sandwiches, Subway salad. And I watched the news yesterday, a guy got killed in Subway.
Now, did you catch that? Kid comes in and says, well, I don't know about going over to Iraq. It's pretty dangerous over there. And this recruiter, they look you right in the eye and say, hey, you like Subway sandwiches? I do. I saw in the news the other day, some kid got killed in a Subway. So you can get killed in a Subway, you can get killed in Iraq, You can get killed anywhere. It's just a matter of where the good Lord tells you it's your time to go. So put your faith in the good Lord and sign right here, you stupid fool. And also, I don't know this for sure, but I'll bet on it. I'd gamble $100. These recruiters are either going to get bonuses or raises or something the more people they recruit. So their incentive is to lie to them. It's like any salesman in the world. Hi, I sell insurance. And our company's going to pay off no matter what happens. Are you from the bad part of Louisiana and you want to buy some flood insurance? Hey, no problem. We're going to buy the flood insurance. We're going to pay off no matter what happens. Trust me. That's what this guy's telling him. You can get killed at the subway. You can get killed in Iraq. You can get killed at grandma's house. You can get killed anywhere. So why not sign up? Get the hell over to Iraq. Your odds are the same. Iraq, subway, it's all the same.
I like Subway sandwiches and Subway salad. And I watched the news yesterday. A guy got killed in Subway.
Some Army recruiters told our students if they enlisted, there was little chance they'd go to war.
Aren't people still being shipped out?
No, they bring people back.
As long as you don't pick a job that falls right here, then you won't have to worry about, you know, going over there.
The same guy that lied about the Subway sandwiches said, no, we're not shipping anyone over to Iraq. We're bringing them back. So if you sign up, how could you possibly go to Iraq when we're bringing soldiers home? They're just lying. I mean, and granted, this was on ABC News, but have you heard this anywhere else? You might have heard rumors, maybe on BarkUp.com, about the recruiters lying, but how blatant they look at these poor, stupid fools with mush for brains, and they say the war is over, the war is ended. Soldiers are coming home. Sign up, get your bonus. Even though the war's ended, the bonus is still in effect, so you can cheat the government. You can get one over on the man. Just sign here. And the poor dumb sumbitch signs up, and he says, report to, you know, this camp or whatever, and then you go there, and they say, you're going to Iraq. You say, but the recruiter, hey, fuck you, boy. Get back in line, or I'll kick your ass. You want to spend the rest of your life in a brig? Well, I don't guess they give you that option. People say, yeah, I'll take the brig. So they're going to send you out of Iraq, so you better study. You better learn how to work that gun. Better learn how to do this and that, because you're going to Iraq. And at that point, your odds of surviving depend on how well you do with your training, so you better listen the hell up. People ought to be mad about this. Why am I the only one? Oh, and that second guy, he's got some kind of chart or something, some kind of graph in front of him, and he points to it and says, as long as you don't request this job right here, as long as you avoid this little circle right here, you ain't going anywhere.
Aren't people still being shipped out?
No, they bring people back.
As long as you don't pick a job that falls right here, then you won't have to worry about, you know, going over there.
We also found some recruiters suggesting ways to get around drug tests.
If you're hot, meaning that, you know, it's still in your system, we'll just give you more time to keep on cleaning it out. We will never hit, we work with you.
You know, what she said there is, if you're still hot, meaning if you still got drugs in your system, that's okay. We're going to work with you. So it sounds to me like what they're going to do is say, if you've got some drugs in your system, say it takes, oh, I don't know, 5-6 weeks to get rid of it. Say what, sign up right here. I got a feeling what they're going to do is they're going to take you, put your ass in the army, put you somewhere where you can't get any drugs for 6 or 8 weeks. Once you're clean, then you're going. The idea that we're going to work with you. Yeah, we're going to snatch your ass. Once we got you under contract, and this isn't like a normal contract. A normal contract, in a lot of cases, you can say, go to hell. Let's go ask a judge how fair that contract is. Not with the military contracts. Not a legal expert, not a lawyer, but it'd be my guess those contracts are hardwired to where if that's your name, if that's your ass on the line, you're going. And we're not even going to talk about it. They just lie to these kids, these stupid kids. They go down there and get lied to and think, well, hell, I'm not going to Iraq. I want to help my country. Sure, sign me up. One of the first things the Democrats need to do, they need to make it illegal to lie. What they ought to do, to be fair, they ought to record the recruiting conversation and give you a copy of it to take home. That would be fair. That way, if you say you're not going to Iraq, then you play that tape. Say, hey, I got proof in my hand that I'm not going to Iraq. And they said, well, you're right. If you got lied to, then the contract's null and void. That's how a contract works. If one side misrepresents, if I tell you I'm going to give you 100 cases of Coca-Cola for $4 a case, and you say, okay, I show up with Bob's Cola, you don't have to buy that because the contract says Coca-Cola. See, that's how a contract works. But not when you're dealing with the government.
If you're hot, meaning that, you know, it's still in your system, we'll just give you more time to keep on cleaning it out. We will never hit, we work with you.
Colonel Robert Manning is in charge of Army recruiting for the entire Northeast.
The news never said war.
I find it hard to believe some of the things that they're telling prospective applicants. I still believe that this is the exception more than the norm.
What are you saying then, that we just got wildly lucky to find recruiters, more than half out of 10 that we visited, to be stretching the truth, or even worse, lying?
I've visited many stations myself, and I know that we have many wonderful Americans serving in uniform as recruiters.
Typical George Bush dodge. He was asked, did we just get wildly lucky? I think what they said, they went to 10 recruiters, and 6 of them just outright lied. And so the guys, the head of the recruiting office here, the national head recruiter guy, he says, oh, I'm having a hard time believing that, because we got good people. Well, no, the question wasn't, do we have good people? The question was, how many of them are lying? If they went to 10 and 6 of them lied on camera, you're hardly in a position to say, well, you must have picked the only 6 liars in the New York area. I mean, come on, are you a gambler? You want to take those odds to Vegas? It doesn't work that way. If you get caught 6 out of 10 times, that means you're lying more than half the time. So if they've got 500 recruiters in New York, they got 300 liars. And what are these liars grabbing, 3 or 4 kids a day? 12,000 kids a day get lied into the Army just in the New York area? Gee, it's almost like a scandal.
Sue Niederer says she's all too familiar with recruiters' lies. Her son, Seth, joined the Army in 2002.
He was told he wouldn't see combat.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Seth was killed by a roadside bomb in Iraq.
90% going to be putting their lives on the line for our country. Tell them the truth. That's all. Just tell them the truth.
Jim Hoffer for ABC News in New York.
Lady, you're not going to get the truth from this president, because he's got to have boys to send over there to die so he can steal that oil. These are the facts.
The Army says it will investigate to see how widespread this kind of recruitment activity may be.
Well, that reminds me of the Republicans' Contract for America in 1994. Remember, they promised to take a vote on term limits, and when they got in there, they said, well, we promised to vote on term limits, not vote against them. We just promised to vote. And what Charles Gibson is saying there, the Army told him, they promised to take a look and see how widespread the action is. I think what they're probably going to do is take a look around and see who's not doing this. You don't really think the Army is going to take steps that will lower their recruiting rate, do you? You can't think that's possible. I'm sure somebody from the military could give me a long bullshit story about how the honor and the dignity, oh, blow me. Their job is to get more people. You give those recruiters at whatever, a $200 bonus for every poor sucker they sign up, they're going to tell them anything. And the guy that came on to explain, oh, I'm so shocked that this is happening, so totally shocked that there could be something like this going on. Yeah, he's probably getting, $1,000 every time one of his recruits gets more than, 10 a week? I don't know what the numbers are. But it's all based on the more suckers you get, the more money you're going to make, and people are greedy. So they're going to, and if it's legal to lie, oh, please, put me in charge of a car lot where it's legal to lie and pay me by the car I sell. Every old lady comes on the lot. You say, lady, I guarantee you, as God is my witness, this car will be maintenance free for the next 20 years. I give you my guarantee. Swear to God, this car will, you can drive this car to California back 15 times. I guarantee with no trouble. And she says, well, fuck, I'm going to buy that car. And then as soon as she hands you the cash, you go, ha ha, gotcha. That's all we have here. A legal contract that's only enforceable on one side. That should be a crime. But they have to do this because Bush needs bodies. He wants that oil. Son of a bitch. This is our country. This is America. They're doing this with our money. When they steal these poor little bastards from their parents and ship them to Vietnam or to... and shipping to Iraq, that bonus is coming out of my taxes and your taxes. They're taking our money to hoodwink these poor little bastards. Doesn't anybody care?
As long as I'm in supportive girlfriend mode, someone point out the supper table. Baby needs a new parrot.
How'd you like that, huh? There's a bad guy coming through. Better get out of his way. Okay, everybody just take it easy, okay? Now what you gonna do? is you're going to give me everything you got. I want the watches, the jewelry, the wallet, everything. And I want you to put it all in Tricky Dick's bag right over here. Move! You, give me the cash box. It's in a drawer behind you. Now! The combination.
You seem highly intelligent and motivated. Figure it out.
The combination! Or you're gonna have to find someone new to deal a blackjack, man.
Sorry, Tricky, that stays with me.
What? You think we're playing with you?
You're gonna regret that.
Say goodnight to the bad guy.
Who are you?
Come on. You remember me. I'm the girl whose necklace you stole. It's got sentimental value. I want it back.
I see. I'll take two boxes of the Thin Mints and some lemon coolers.
You can keep all the gambling money. Everything else. I don't care. Just give me my necklace back and we'll be cool.
Wow. That's some hardcore salesmanship. You're good. Tell you what, throw in a box with a shortbread.
You and your partner robbed the casino. You did all the talking because of Sasaki's accent. As security officers, the criminal records of all new employees cross your desk. You decide to pin your crime on the new ex-con maintenance guy you see every day just outside your office. This also explains why you were covered in drywall dust. You knew about the casino. You even tried to shut it down a couple times, but those spoiled college boys didn't listen to you. I'm guessing you got the idea when you found the masks and prop guns in the film department van. Do you think I missed anything?
Well, one thing. Proof.
Not quite true. Look what I have.
Prints? Witnesses said the holdup men wore gloves.
Yeah, but you wouldn't believe how much hair is inside these masks. It's kind of gross, actually. It's like a sack of DNA. So I'll trade you this bag for my necklace.
I'll need a day to get your necklace back.
Yeah, that's not gonna do it.
What did you do?
Say hello to my little friend.
You know you're important when, that's where we're going to start a joke. You know you're important when? When you can cold call the White House and meet the president the same afternoon. Well, who can? Bono can, and he did. As he and President Bush crossed paths yesterday in Chicago, Mr. Bush and the U2 frontman share a commitment to slow the spread of HIV and AIDS in Africa. Bono talked about his impromptu meeting on our sister network, CNN International.
We had just launched Red on Oprah. We were in Chicago, and they wouldn't let us leave on the runway. They closed down the airspace. We were very upset, and I wanted to make a complaint. They said, you'll have to complain to the President of the United States. I said, well, there's a few things I like to complain to the President of the United States. So we stormed the plane, as it were. But actually, I have to say, on AIDS, the United States are way out in front in your leadership on AIDS, and President Bush, working with Congress, has a million Africans on antiretroviral drugs. 2 years ago, there was about 50,000. So, you know, I was bringing him some good news, but also telling him we need to increase funding for the Global Fund, which is where all the red money is going.
Mm-hmm. He's talking about a program there called PEPFAR. As he mentioned, Bono was in Chicago to see Oprah. Both are promoting a line of clothing and accessories that will raise money to help fight AIDS.
We're talking about freedom of religion, the most basic of individual liberties. Scientology may seem a little wacky to Mr. Espenson, so what? We never hold religion up to standards of reasonableness. If we did, what religion could pass? Christian scientists won't go to the doctor. Jehovah's Witnesses forbid singing the national anthem and buying Girl Scout cookies. Radical Islamists blow themselves up to meet virgins in heaven. The Hindus have their cow. People believe in all kinds of things. It is their right to do so under the First Amendment. But the defendant doesn't want to afford that liberty to Douglas Carnes because he thinks that Scientology is just a little too out there, I guess. Come on. Freedom of religion means just that.
Oh, please, it's a dumb freedom. An employee's behavior reflects on their employer, for God's sake. In this case, we're talking about a law firm, a business, in which clients look for good judgment, sound and sane counsel. This guy's running around saying man evolved from a big clam after galactic warlords invaded our volcanoes. He's a nut job. And I don't know about you, but I'm getting a little tired of this freedom of religion thing. When did religion get such a good name anyway? Be it the Crusades, the Reformation genocides, the troubles in Northern Ireland, the Middle East, mass slaughters supposedly in the name of Allah, and then, of course, the obligatory reciprocal retributions. Hundreds of millions of people have died in religious conflicts. Hitler did his business in the name of his creator. 9/11 was an act of religious extremism. It's our greatest threat today, a holy jihad. If we're not ready to strip religion of its sacred cow status, how about we at least scale back a little on the constitutional dogma exalting it as all get out?
Your Honor, I would love to know what this has to do with my client being fired.
Your client was fired because he entered into an at-will employment contract. He acted like a complete loon, and he now tries to cloak himself in a constitutional amendment that is as overplayed as it is misapplied. Everybody should get to believe in God. Pray to his God, worship his God, of course. But to impose him on others, to victimize others in his name, the founding fathers of this country set out to prevent persecution, not to license it. And for Jerry Espenson struggling with his law practice to make ends meet, don't tell me he's not victimized when one of his lawyers bounces around telling clients and other attorneys that, according to his most recent electropsychometer reading, he's getting closer to immortality, at which point he'll be able to leave his body and talk to zebras. At a certain point, we have to say, enough with this freedom of religion crap. Yuck. 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 Yes, I know. I'll get letters.
Last week brought unexpected news from Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average hit a record high. And you know what that means? The rich are even richer and need to find more ways to dispose of their money. Like this Wall Street executive who went to France to buy a $4 million custom-built Ferrari.
Pininfarina designed and made all of the engineering, so it was really what my dream was. They said, what is your dream? And once I told them, they scanned me, and then they put me in virtual reality, and they made sure that I would feel comfortable driving and reaching for the controls.
Unlike those skanky off-the-rack Ferraris. Where's the steering wheel on this thing? A gear shift there? Somebody pull over. Ferrari, not fast enough? The Russian space program is so bankrupt, it's letting millionaires hitch rides on their rockets. The latest astro-tourist, American Anoush Ansari, who spent 11 days in orbit. Price, $20 million. Expensive? You bet. But it was the only way she could achieve her lifelong dream of flying over every single starving person on Earth and yelling, hey, look at what I'm spending my money on. Looking for a cheaper rocket ride? Richard Branson, the leathery mogul behind Virgin Airways, has started Virgin Galactic, which offers to shoot you and five friends up into the great beyond for the low, low price of $1.7 million. Afterwards, you'll even get whisked off for a vacation on Sir Richard's private Caribbean island retreat. And for an extra million, you can spend that vacation without Richard Branson. If the lure of space is stronger than your earnings potential, you can always haul your life savings to a Star Trek auction. Like this one at Christie's in New York, where at least one loser went home a loser.
I was trying to get the captain's chair, but when it went for $53,000, I said, I'll go for the consoles instead.
Sadly, the consoles also proved too costly, but for $800, the autographed pair of Captain Picard's space undies was his. But while most millionaires are looking for ways to spend what they have, New York Knicks guard Stephon Marbury is out to keep inner-city kids from spending what they don't. He's developed a line of cheap sportswear. The most expensive item is the Starberry One, a basketball shoe that sells for $14.98.
We're putting people in a situation where they can buy something that's affordable. Everybody wants to have that. I don't care who you are. Everybody wants the deal.
Not everybody, Stephon. You hear about the putts who just spent $4 million on a Ferrari?
Get up, get on up. Get up, get on up. Stay on the scene. Get on up like a sex machine. Get on up. Get up, get on up. Get up, get on up. Stay on the scene. Get on up like a sex machine. Get on up. Get up, get on up. Stay on the scene. Get on up like a sex machine. Wait a minute, shake your arm, then use your palm. Stay on the scene, like a sex machine. You got to have the feeling, sure as your bone. Get it together, right on, right on. Get up, get on up. Get up, get on up.
Greetings, Agrestic Elementary School, class of 2006. Hello, teachers, parents, step-parents, siblings, boyfriends and girlfriends with parents, assorted relatives, friends of your mom and daddy you call aunt and uncle who really aren't, and Principal Dutch. As I stand before you today, on the brink of junior high, here is what I have to say. You have failed us all! Everything is not okay! We have become alienated, desensitized, angry, and frightened. If we picture Agrestic as an airplane, a grand soaring jet carrying us through the sky, I think you all need to understand. There are motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane.
Okay, that's it, Batwin. That is quite enough. You said no profanity. You have done, and here's your diploma, and you are Agrestic Junior High's problem now.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to give out the diplomas.
Let him speak! Let him speak! Let him speak! Let him speak!
I will call off this graduation if we don't have order right now. I mean it.
Let him speak!
Everybody be quiet!
Let him speak! Let him speak! Let him speak!
We are not safe! You moved here so that you can feel safe, but your children are not safe!
So help me, I will boot you up the stage like a Nerf ball.
I'm not done!
All week here, we're doing a series of reports called The Homefront, and tonight's report defines that description. You're about to meet some of our fellow citizens who happen to have a big airport where they live. There always seems to be someone in uniform coming through on their way to or from Iraq or Afghanistan. These folks have now made it their business to love every one of them. Their story tonight from NBC's Janet Shamlian in Dallas.
A shower of affection and a thunder of cheers.
Welcome home.
For troops returning from Iraq and Afghanistan on a two-week leave,
welcome home, Captain. Thank you.
This is the first taste of home. But it isn't home, and most offering hugs and handshakes are neither family nor friends.
It's the first thing we see after customs, and it's awesome.
Thank you, Ben. Right. I'm proud of you.
Flights from the battlefield arrive daily at Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport. Everyone, for 2 years, has been met by volunteers.
Who wants to call home?
Who leave jobs, pack up children, and drive to the airport. By comparison, a small sacrifice.
I got off the plane, saw everybody clapping and everything. I got a little choked up. It's awesome.
Though some here oppose the war, this is sacred ground. Free of politics.
Thank you for being here.
And full of understanding, the warrior is separate from the war.
Being a Vietnam veteran, we weren't received very well when we came back. And we're going to make sure it's not going to happen to these guys.
You don't want me to hug and kiss you?
Well, I can stand that, I think.
You can stand that.
Meeting hundreds of flights, thousands of troops.
Thank you so much. Job well done.
It's hard, they say, not to be moved by seeing a soldier back safely and closer to loved ones.
What y'all say we go home? Yeah?
If only for 2 weeks. Janet Shamlian, NBC News.
Time for great moments in presidential speeches.
That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
If it feels good, do it.
New rule in two parts. A, you can't call yourself a think tank if all your ideas are stupid. And B, if you're someone from one of the think tanks that dreamed up the Iraq War and who predicted that we'd be greeted as liberators and that we wouldn't need a lot of troops, and that Iraqi oil would pay for the war, that the WMDs would be found, that the looting wasn't problematic, that the mission was accomplished, that the insurgency was in its last throes, that things would get better after the people voted, after the government was formed, after we got Saddam, after we got his kids, after we got Zarqawi, and that the whole bloody mess wouldn't turn into a civil war, you have to stop making predictions. You know, there's a name for people who are always wrong about everything all the time. Husbands. You know, it's a shame what happened to think tanks. They used to produce valuable apolitical analysis, but partisanship crept into many of them, and the Bush administration doesn't just come up with something as stupid as, if we leave now, they'll follow us home. No, they have someone from a think tank say it first. It's a way to lend respectability. The same reason a titty bar has food. I hear. The think tanks that incubated the Iraq War have lofty names like the Heritage Foundation and the Project for a New American Century, whatever. They've been wrong so often, I'm surprised they're not my broker. Richard Perle thought we could win Iraq with 40,000 troops. Paul Wolfowitz predicted in 2003 that within a year, the grateful people of Baghdad would name some grand square in their fine city after President Bush. And he was right when he said they'd be waving American flags. They were on fire. William Crystal poo-pooed the fears that Sunnis and Shiites would be at each other's throats as the stuff of pop psychology. Right, and having your head chopped off is just a quick way to drop 11 pounds. Crystal, of course, is revered by much of the right because he was Dan Quayle's chief of staff and was known as Quayle's brain.
You know that. Which sounded impressive until I remembered Dan Quayle didn't have a brain. And now Mr. Crystal proposes immediate military action against Iran, predicting the Iranians will thank us for it. Hey, you know what, Nostradamus? Why don't you sit this one out? We'll get by using the magic eight ball for a while. Because you guys have been so wrong about so much for so long, people are actually turning to the Democrats. So we can say Iraq was a noble experiment, if that helps you. Our intention was good, to penetrate Iraq and bring it to a glorious, euphoric climax. But it's clear now that's just not going to happen. And yet we're still pounding away, causing the whole area to become painfully inflamed. And in that situation, the kindest thing you can do is just pull out.
This week, on Tuesday night, in an ironic turnaround, Iraq brought regime change to the U.S. President Bush on Wednesday held a news conference where he vowed to work with the new Democratic majority, which, if true, can mean only one thing. The Democrats have a nuclear bomb.
Political analysts are saying that the Democratic victories in Tuesday's elections were a referendum on President Bush's handling of the war in Iraq and various congressional scandals, as well as the environment, the economy, wiretapping, torture, Katrina, military tribunals, illegal immigration, Osama's continued freedom, Kyoto, abortion rights, the national debt, SARS, the XFL, and the death of Mr. Echo. On Thursday, the Army launched their new recruitment slogan, Army Strong, which replaces their previous slogan, Army of One. Meanwhile, the Navy is sticking with their recruiting slogan, Iraq, it's almost entirely landlocked.
Nancy Pelosi, the likely Speaker of the House, had lunch at the White House Thursday with President Bush. Though, just to rub things in, she left early to have an abortion.
No, this was an amazing week. Democrats won in places they were never even competitive before. Like America. They did good in America. Now, I don't want to say that George Bush is a lame duck, but this morning Cheney shot him.
And what kind of medal do you get when you get shot by the vice president? What the, you know, you don't get a Purple Heart. You get one of Dick Cheney's old bad hearts, you know. Here you go, soldier. This is lucky number four right here. Here you go. And you know, and it just so pissed me off when I heard about him shooting his friends. I'm like, what the fuck is he doing with leisure time anyway? What is he doing taking a day off? You know, I mean, really, he's out there on some secluded ranch, hunting with his rich friends. What the fuck is, he should be spending every minute of his waking life trying to figure out how to clean up that shit in Iraq and get our men and women back here. Let them come home so they can hang out with their families, you know, go drinking and shoot their friends in the face. Sick of it, man. I mean, just the whole thing in Iraq, it's just so fucked. It's so fucked. It really is. Because you know what? It's a waste. It's such a waste of everything, man. Because you know, we don't understand them. These people kill over cartoons. It's a whole different ball game, man. We don't understand it, you know. And okay, and let's say they do establish a government. All right, big deal. They establish a government. Eventually, they're going to elect an asshole. And he's going to fuck up every accomplishment that we have made over there. I mean, it's going to happen. We did it.
President Bush held a Rose Garden press conference yesterday to state the obvious.
The stakes are high. The stakes are high. The stakes are high. The stakes are really high. The stakes are high. As a matter of fact, they couldn't be higher.
You know where the water levels during Katrina were? Like this? Stakes are up here. They're already above the water level of Katrina. They're at a maximum altitude. It's a serious, serious time, people. And so what better way to begin a serious press conference than a little banter?
If I might say, that is a beautiful suit.
Thank you, sir. My tailor.
And I can't see anybody else who even comes close. Suzanne, first best dressed person here. Sorry.
Kevin and I coordinated.
Yeah. No, it actually looks. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. President.
No, Suzanne. I'm saying. I think you're doable. I'm just saying, under different circumstances, if I weren't married, I would perhaps woo you with a down-home country mix. Wildflowers and daybreak. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, Suzanne, we were flirting.
Thank you, Mr. President. Back on Iraq, a group of American and Iraqi health officials today released a report saying that 655,000 Iraqis have died since the Iraq War.
Remember before we were joking around and I said you and the black guy were wearing the same suit? Work with me.
So the president was, you like how I switched him from Bush to Jew Bush? The president was forced to dive into some of the high stakes issues, foremost among them North Korea. Why does the president insist on multilateral negotiations?
I firmly believe, Mike, that that is the best strategy to solve the problem. I mean, one has a stronger hand when there's more people playing your same cards.
Connecticut Senator Joseph Lieberman won re-election as an independent and is expected to be courted by both Democrats and Republicans, though it remains to be seen which Lieberman will show up in the Senate. The dull and boring Lieberman, or the boring and dull Lieberman? Arizona on Tuesday became the first state to defeat an amendment to ban gay marriage, while Missouri approved a measure to back stem cell research, and Kansas drowned a witch.
I got to give the president credit. He is trying. He had lunch 2 days ago with Nancy Pelosi, the new Speaker of the House, and he was trying to find common ground, couldn't come up with anything. Finally, he said, "Your frozen smile looks just like my wife's."
Bush has authorized the building of a 700-mile fence. 700-mile fence they're going to build between the United States and Mexico. And he says, by the way, he knows where we can get some cheap labor to build it.
People don't always get, there's always a big push to get the young people to vote. You know, Puff Diddley's got his vote or die campaign. They got the, what? They got the rock the vote, the soft rock the vote, smooth jazz the vote, whatever. I think young people would vote if they could vote with a text thing. You know, like they do, then they would do it. Like you do in the American Up, let them text. And so you can go ahead, you can vote multiple times, just like in Ohio or Florida, multiple times, anytime you like.
As the election approaches, folks, many conservative voters are wondering whether the Bush administration has abandoned traditional conservative values to appeal to the Christian right. Well, I don't think it has. Traditional conservatives also want small government, and the government is getting smaller because congressmen are leaving office in disgrace.
How about that war in Iraq? Isn't it crazy, the war in Iraq? It's costing $4 billion a week, the war in Iraq. That's slightly less than Paul McCartney's divorce.
Other than that, you know, just play your normal game, all right? For $25,000, here is your first subject. Go.
The Stars and Stripes.
Things on the flag.
The 4th of July. Apple
patriotic
pie.
Patriotic things.
Apple
American
pie.
American things.
I'm going to wait until you die, then I'll fly down and eat the meat.
What a vulture would say.
Dessert. Liqueurs.
Things that are sweet. Sweet things.
Desserts.
After dinner things.
A marooned sailor. A palm tree. A coconut tree.
Things on an island.
Sand, yes. Your shaggy dog. Your...
Things you groom?
Star Wars.
Things in outer space.
The president's policies.
Things that are strategic.
Star Wars.
Things that are in the military.
Abortion.
Things that are illegal.
Abortion.
Things that are controversial. Yeah!
Well, there you had it. Show 99, Bart Cop Radio. Hope you liked something. Hope you learned something. Hope you subscribe. Now we're going to get to work on show number 100. Going to work closely with Tommy Mack and Tally and the gang. Try to come up with something extra special for you. Like to thank all you who send the occasional check in the mail. As you know, that's not Caesar's. Like to thank the subscribers. Like to thank everybody who's reading. Appreciate you clicking on those ads, but don't tell them I said to do that. We're off for our little anniversary trip out of town. Back in a few days. This is Bart. I'm out of here.